few reminders. If you're new around, in the bulletin you have a list of the announcements, and you can read those. They also come in the form of email every Thursday. You can, if you don't get the email on Thursdays, just give me your email on a piece of paper, and I will make sure you get on the emailing list so you can be updated with the news. One thing that we need to mention is on the 25th, it's the also a potluck. Oh, did you say that, Jane? You said that, okay. Yeah, we'll have a potluck. It's always good potlucks. I love potlucks. Lots of chicken and stuff and chicken. Anyway, let's pray for God's word, and we'll dive right in. Father, we thank you this morning again that we have this privilege of hearing you speaking to us through your word. Allow us to be good listeners, not just to keep these words in our brains, but also let it go down into our hearts and transform our lives. May we leave this place encouraged and challenged and changed because of your work in us, Lord. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen. I can't believe this. It's been 20 plus years since my first sermon in May 1995, and I'm still nervous when I get up here. Yeah. Okay, First Peter. We've been studying this book for a couple of weeks now, and it's been, for me at least, it's been a great, great study to just dive into Peter's way of seeing the world. And Peter's way of seeing the world is this. There's going to be trouble. Get ready for it. Life is not going to be always easy. But your hope is in Christ, because he has born you to a living hope. And you have become special people with a special purpose. God chose you. God chose us to make us a holy nation, a holy priesthood, a people of his choosing. And the purpose is what? To proclaim Christ. Simple. To proclaim Christ. Whatever we do, whether we give out a piece of, a coat or a box of stuff for the kids, or whatever you do, whatever we do, it's for God's glory. That's because we're special people for a special purpose. That was last week's message. This week, I was, finally I chose this title, Shining Like Stars, or Shine Like Stars in the Sky. It's a verse from, it's a quote actually from Philippians, second chapter, verse 15. But before we go there, how do you feel when everybody is looking at you? Did you ever feel that? You know, I was kind of laughing with Anna. We come from a country, Anna and I, from Romania, where we don't really have large, huge windows. I mean, we have windows, but they're not like as big as they are here. So when I first came to Canada, and actually that was in 2014, when I came, I was up in Schaumburg in a small town up north from here, and I was in the living room, and I felt like this. You know, there was this huge, huge, nice, beautiful living room with this window as big as the wall. And in my brain, it's like everybody who walks by can see inside. And I felt like a fish in a ball. You know, and I realized that actually, one, not that many people actually walk. And two, probably they don't even look around. You know, it's like, it's not that much of a problem, actually. You know, up in Holland, except for a couple of guys who have dogs, nobody walks around our home. So, you know, it's fine. But when you look at this picture, actually, I want to read a verse as you look at this. Philippians 2, verse 14 and 15 says, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault and in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." You will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. That's our life. Whether we feel like in a fishbowl or not, our life is meant to shine, to be visible, to be different, to be noticed, if you want. And not just because we do crazy stuff. You know, last week we read a piece, just a small passage, and Peter said, some people are being punished by the authorities because they do bad things. And that's, you know, that's how it should be. Some people are noticed because they don't do the right things, or because they do the bad things, you know. Or if you read the news about whether it's politicians or athletes or even pastors. Rarely you hear about them because they shine like stars in the sky. It's because they've done something stupid and people have noticed, and they're always on the front page of every newspaper or internet page that you open a browser. We are called to shine like stars and be noticed, Peter says, because our lives are different. Our text today continues what Peter began in the first chapter, in the first part of the second chapter. But basically it begins now in verse, if you open your Bibles to 1 Peter 2, from verse 11 and on, it's a whole new passage, actually a whole paragraph from here to chapter 4. In Greek, it's just one long phrase. You know, he says a long, long phrase, you know, three chapters worth. And this phrase is, if you want, it's a household or domestic code. How should we live as Christians in the world around us as they are watching us? Because the world is watching us. Maybe not as much here in Canada because we just blend. But back in Europe, if you're an evangelical Christian, you stand out. Why? Because you're a minority. A very small minority. You know, a couple of percentages in every country. Romania is actually blessed with the highest number of evangelicals in Europe. But we're still a very small minority. And you stand out. Because in a country where everybody steals, for example, or lies, or cheats, if you're a Christian, you stand out. And sometimes that has consequences. You know, you're noticed, but sometimes you have to pay a price. Back in 1990, after soon I was released from the military, I went to a college for 3 years learning how to fix TV sets. That was my first trade. I was an electronist. And my job as a, you know, repairman was based on fixing stuff and, you know, being, you know, charging people for that. But I had just become a Christian. I finished school, college in 93, and that's when I became a Christian. And I began to fix TVs and charge exactly how much it was worth repairing. You know, if it was 25 cents, I charged 25 cents. If it was $2, I charged $2. If it was $100, I charged $100. But I was starving, man. My income was like so tiny. I was living with my mom and my dad still, so I was, you know, eating free food and I didn't pay for rent or anything. But I was making like peanuts for a paycheck. It was small, because in that trade, you could not make a decent living if you didn't lie. You know, fix something for 25 cents and charge, you know, $250. And I couldn't. I just couldn't. And the price I paid was, one, to not have money in my pocket for like a couple of years. And two was I had to change my trade. I had to go to a different line of business so I can actually make some money, because I couldn't lie to make that living. I stood out. People, years after I left my shop, would still knock at the door and call for me. You know, can that guy come to fix my TV? You know why? There was one time, I remember it even now, this retired lady called me up to fix her TV set, and I fixed it, and it was actually an expensive fix. It cost me a lot to fix it. And then I write the invoice, and she was looking at me. It's like, I don't have that money. But I had written the invoice already, so I thought, oh, well. So I paid for it. I fixed it, and I paid for it from my own pocket. And therefore, she actually looked for me a couple of times later on, after I changed my jobs, because she wanted that guy to come and fix her TV set, because she knew I wouldn't lie or cheat. Obviously, you know, like I said, I had to change professions because I was really not making money at all. But anyway, our text today continues with this idea that as you live your life in your home or at work or in the society, you should stand out. You should be like, you know, like Paul says, shining like stars amongst them. As I have this quote here from a book I'm reading in the office, those who have been ransomed by the blood of Christ and graciously shaped to be a temple of God's presence are to live unique and countercultural lives so that the world cannot help but notice. Blending in is not a trait of Christians. If you blend in and you're just like one of the guys, something is not right, because we are not. I mean, as we live lives for Christ, we will stand out whether we like it or not. We will stand out because of our choices, our words. Everything that we do will be different than the darkness of the world out there. And Peter is encouraging us to remind ourselves that Christ has suffered for our sins. We'll see this in the end of this passage. He's risen from the dead, and he has ascended to the right hand of the Father. And through him, the victory is ours. It's not impossible to live a life like that. It is not impossible to live a life shining like stars in the sky because of Christ. If we are to live through us, through our own power, we'll give in. We'll just give up. But because of Christ and his power in us, we can live life like this. Okay, first passage. 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, verse 11 through 13. Short, just a couple of verses. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct amongst the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. A couple of key words here, and I got in this habit of just making them, you know, more visible for you. But as Peter says that we are sojourners or pilgrims or travelers, you know, just temporary here, not for a long time. He says we are exiles. He also says that we should abstain. What does abstain mean? Say what? Not to do, to refrain, to stop, to hold yourself, to not engage, to not do that one thing that Peter says here, passions of the flesh. What are some passions of the flesh that you can think of? Greed, lust, hypocrisy, envy, slander, gossip, pride, malice, deceit. Just a few. These are just a few of a list that can go on and on and on. And Peter says you should abstain from those. Abstain from gossip, for example. That's one big one for everyone, because temptation is huge to just keep up saying stuff about someone who's not present, even though it may be true. Or abstain from the lusts or the lust of the flesh. That's a big battle, you know. Everywhere you go, it's like the whole world is being sensualized. My wife and I were trying to find clean shows on TV to watch. You know how hard it is to find a clean show to watch? You know, actually, I watched Last Man Standing twice, the whole five seasons, just because it was like nothing else to watch. I mean, not in one sitting. That's like a year's worth of TV watching. But it's hard because the world outside us, outside this church, God's church, is so enticed, so full of that passion of the flesh, the lust of the eye, as John calls it in the first epistle. And Peter says, abstain. You know, and do not ignore this phrase here. It's emphasized on the screen. It says here, the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. That word is real, war. The passions of the flesh wage war against you. Why? Because as you maybe don't abstain from some of these, you lose your testimony. You lose your shining. You don't stand out anymore. You're just one of the guys. And people say, well, you may say you're a Christian, but what's different from you? Because you're just like me, you know? Remember, I may have said this before. Back in 89, for about 6 weeks, I guarded our battalion's cornfield. You know, awesome job for a guy, you know, in the military. I was given a dog and a rubber stick, and I was supposed to guard this cornfield with another soldier. And he was a Christian, Baptist kid, grew up in church, played all the instruments, knew all the songs, all the hymns. He stole as much as I steal. Stole. What's the grammar? We stole together of the corn we were supposed to guard. I mean, yeah, we were hungry, and they would feed us once a day, and we'll, you know, get corn and sell it and buy food for ourselves because we're just hungry. And, you know, you put two kids, 19 years old, and in a cornfield, you know, and people wanted to pay for that. I prayed for forgiveness. It's gone. It's a sin long gone. But that guy, he was the first Christian I've ever met. And I saw nothing different in him. Nothing. And to this day, I wonder, what was happening in his mind, in his soul, when he was just doing stuff? I mean, he was... Anyway, I don't want to go on there. There is a war going on against us, and the passions of the flesh are trying to destroy your testimony. And it's so easy to fall. And that's why we are to guard ourselves, to abstain, to keep, as Peter says in the first chapter, to prepare our minds for action, being sober-minded, and setting our hope fully on the grace of God. Have our minds prepared for action and being sober-minded, which means realize who you are. You are, we are weak. Guys, if anyone who guesses I'm strong and I can stand against any and every temptation, passion of the flesh, you're lying to yourself. You may be strong in one aspect, but you're not strong in all of them. And being sober-minded says, basically, Lord, I need you every day. Even for that abstaining part, we need Christ to work in us and give us that power to stand strong. There's a war for our souls. Do not ignore that. And Peter continues saying, keep your conduct honorable amongst the Gentiles. The word here, honorable, in I looked it up in Greek. I don't know Greek. Don't get the wrong impression here. I know how to read people who read Greek. The word means beautiful. Beautiful. May your conduct be beautiful amongst the Gentiles. May those who see your life see something that they would like to be like you. People should see your hope, your joy, your passion, your enthusiasm, the way you love people and say, I want to be like that person. That jealousy that Paul speaks in Romans, the jealousy of those who know the Christians and they want to be just like them, that's how our life ought to be. Such beauty from above that people want to be like us. Keep your conduct honorable, says here, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, look at this passage. It doesn't say if they speak about you as evildoers. What it says, when they speak about you as evildoers. What's the assumption here? That non-Christians, those who do not want to walk with God, those who have refused or rebelled against God, will look at you and will speak badly about you. Falsely accuse you of all things. Remember Luke, when Jesus speaks in Luke about the Beatitudes, at the end, it says, what should we do when people revile us and speak and accuse us and speak badly about us? What does Jesus say? Leap for joy. Be glad and leap for joy when they do that, because that's how they treated the prophets and even Jesus himself. We know this. So expect that kind of behavior from those around you. Be sober-minded. Don't think that the world would love and like you. It won't. You know what? Because when you bring the light of Christ into a situation, that brightness, you're shining for Christ, will emphasize, will bring to light their ugliness and their sins. People hate that. People want to be unknown and not noticed. And when your light makes them, by comparison, look ugly, they will hate you for that, as they have hated our Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter says, abstain from what's evil, fight the war against the passions of the flesh, and keep your conduct beautiful or honorable in the world. And it's nothing new here. You know, it's the same thing as Peter said with the Matthew passage. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Or the passage we just read at the beginning of this lesson. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. The common theme is do good works. Do good stuff. Do good deeds. When life is good, do good. When life is not good, still do good. That's the whole message of 1 Peter, if you want, in just two phrases. Make your life shine amongst others because you do the right thing. You do good. When it's good and when it's not so good. When your life is good and not so good. Anyway, second section. Next one. Second passage. Let's read this one too. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Let that one sink in. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. As you look at this passage, you know, you read the first few words, first couple of words, and it's kind of like makes us cringe a bit. You know, be subject. Even the word be submissive, be obedient, let yourself be ruled by. That means, well, this is what this word means, be subject. For the Lord's sake. Not because those people deserve your submission. We do it for the Lord's sake. It says here, be subject to every human institution. Again, God bless those who actually learned Hebrew. I'm not one of them. I did take Hebrew for like 4 semesters in college, but didn't stick. Hopefully Chinese will stick better, I'm hoping. Every human institution, actually in Greek says, every human creation. And that's an amazing thing. When Peter says, be subject to every human creation, whether it's emperor or the governor sent by the emperor, he says, keep your things in perspective. Remember, you're subject to them, you obey them, but they're nothing but a creation. Who is worthy of our worship? The Creator, God, the Almighty who created everything. He is the only one worthy of worship. Because in those days, this is important, because in those days, people said, I mean, the empire said, you must worship the emperor. That was called the cult of the emperor. They were seen as gods and were supposed to bring sacrifices to them, you know, light up, you know, incense once a year for the emperor to worship actually the emperor. Peter says they're human creations. You can be subject to them, just don't worship them. It's a big difference there. Because sometimes we think that if we are subject to someone, we're kind of like giving everything that we are to that person or institution. And we're not just subject, but we're like totally engulfed by that. You know, for me, as you know, with my communist past, be subject to every human institution really makes me cringe, because I think of the, you know, secret police back home and the communist system that just oppressed everything and everyone. And Peter says, be subject. And if you think this is just because Peter had like great emperor and a good, you know, governor and just great MPs and MPPs. No. Who was the emperor in Peter's day when he was writing this letter? Who was the emperor, the current emperor? Any guess? Nero. I think I heard right. Yes, Nero. Was he an emperor worth obeying? Obviously not. We know how much harm he did, not just to the church, but to the whole empire. And Peter says, be subject to every human institution. In the end, it says, honor the emperor. But this is not about those moments when there are like upheavals and persecutions and you name it. We love exceptions. We love to look at things in our life and choose the exceptions and say, that exception should regulate my whole life. Persecution, although, you know, for us, it's just something that we kind of have to expect. It's the exception to this part. Because when there's persecution, obviously you don't obey the authorities. Back in Romania, people smuggled Bibles. People preached sermons. People brought others to faith and baptized them with the risk of prison. They disobeyed the authority because they came in conflict with God's law. That's not what we're talking here. This is not what Peter says. Obey those who say, don't preach Christ anymore. Acts chapter 4. John and Peter. Peter and John were brought before the Sanhedrin, the great council of the Jews, and said, they said, do not preach Christ anymore. And what does John and Peter respond in one voice? Are we to be subject to you or to God? Are we to listen to you or to God? Guess what? We'll listen to God. That was the call. So that was the exception again. For us, it's about, you know, obeying the traffic rules. Simple as that. Drive in a manner that makes you stand out. I stand out, I know, as a driver. Whatever. Not going there. Do good. Pay taxes. Obey the government. Join the public arena. Live godly lives. Don't steal. Don't lie. Be different. Honor the emperor. That's the point of Peter here. Live lives that are so given to God. Because it says here, be subject as unto the Lord. Or actually it says, for the Lord's sake. That is the context. You know? This is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Remember I said, you will be accused of doing evil things. What does Peter says here? Put them to silence. Make them stop. How? How do we make the foolish people silenced? How do we make this ignorance silenced? It's clear. By doing good. It's on the screen. By doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. So, like I said, when people praise you for doing good, you continue to do good. When people accuse you of evil doing, when you do good, what do? You continue to do what the Lord has called you to do. Do not condition your good doing, your good deeds, your good works by the approval of the people around you. You're doing it for God's sake, because that's how God said you will stand out and shine like stars in the heaven, stars in the sky. And remember that ignorance, you know, that need to be silenced? That's rebellion. The ignorance of foolish people, it's not just not being educated about the subject. No, it's actually more. It's rebellion against the Lord Almighty. And Peter said, you can silence that by showing your life, you know, living a life that is truly different than others. I have this quote, another quote again. We must live in such a way that our confidence in Christ and our humility is evident to all. We must let our joyful, generous, sacrificial, Christ-centered lives silence the accusation of the foolish people. That's what I'm praying for. That my life, the way people, when they see me and they see my life, they'll be silenced. Not because of what I say, but because of what they see in my life. Live as people who are free. It says here towards the end of this passage, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. That's who we are, free servants of God. But freedom does not mean freedom to do anything and everything. I lived through a transition back in 93. The church was in Romania was just freed from years and years of persecution. And when you're for 50 years, you're just oppressed and persecuted, you develop a mentality of a fortress. You kind of want to make sure that this church will not die. And the saints of Christ in Romania have kept the church and the faith alive. God bless them. But when freedom came and the church was no longer oppressed and everything was free and you could do anything you wanted as a church, some of those who were not as wise use that freedom in ways that did not honor the Lord. It just went, you know, a full pendulum swing on the other direction. And I've seen that. I lived through it back in the early 90s in Romania when I saw the church as it used to be and then the church as it kind of tried to find its identity as a free church of Christ. It was hard. People made mistakes. Even I made mistakes because I didn't know how to handle freedom of worship. Peter said, do not use your freedom as an abuse, as an excuse to something that's wrong, evil, he says actually here. Be a free servant of God. May that be the qualification of your life. And then if you're a free servant of God, what do? You honor everyone. Think about this. Is anyone in your life you despise? A boss, an employee or employer, a neighbor, annoying parent from the school, annoying kid from the school? Is anyone you really find hard to honor? A parent, sometimes. Peter says, and God speaks to Peter, says, saying, honor everyone. Not because they deserve it, guys. Not because they deserved it. Because God said, do it for the Lord's sake. He honored them. Doesn't mean you obey them. Doesn't mean you do everything they say. Doesn't mean you agree with everything they say or do. It just, you honor them. You're respectful to them. You just live lives that are different than, you know, I have a word that's not kind of French word, but I'm not going to use it. You complain, you accuse, you gossip. No, you don't do that. You honor. Sometimes silence is one of the ways you honor someone that you don't like. You just keep your mouth shut. Remember Thumper and Thumper's mom from, what was the movie? Bambi. Thank you. If you have nothing good to say, you better say nothing at all. That's a godly good advice from Disney. You know, from the old Disney, not going there. You know, obey Thumper's mom. Honor everyone. Sometimes with your words, sometimes with your silence. And it says here, love the brotherhood and sisterhood. And, you know, brothers and sisters together. Love them. Love people that God brought to your life. You know, honor God by showing them love. How do you show love? You know, read that book, Five Languages of Love, by Gary Chapman. It's a good book. It's not the guy's kind of a book, but it's a good book even for the guys to learn to read. You know, how do we love people? Sometimes with a hug. To those that hate hugs, and I have this girl back in Romania that hated hugs. She hated me to go and say, oh, she was like, but she wanted to hear my words of encouragement. Others wanted to see that I give them a card because the action of giving them something meant a lot for them. So many ways to love people. Serve. Go and wash, do something of act of service to someone. You know, so many ways to show your love for the church people, those who God made you as your family. And in the end, again, fear God and honor the emperor. Take this to heart. When we speak about our government, I definitely don't lean left in my tendencies. I'm more of a center and the other side. Because I come from I've seen communism. I've lived 21 years under communism, and I tell you, it's, how many people run from U.S. and find refuge in China? So not China, sorry, Korea, or North Korea, by that mean, or Venezuela, you know? How many do the other way? But again, I shouldn't be doing politics here. I'm not doing politics here. Honor the emperor, period. Third section, and I'll be short. I'll be brief. Sorry about this. I didn't look at my watch. Verse 18 and on. Servants, which you can supplement with employees. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. I bet someone here is now like, oh boy. For this is a gracious thing, when the mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it is if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure. But if when you do good and suffer for it, and you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. Same theme, obey. Those who are worthy of obedience because they're nice and gentle, and those who are unjust, and they beat you up for nothing. You know, in those days, today would not be beating up, would like be angry words, or you know, being laid off, or whatever. Peter says, obey them. Be subject to them. Why? Because it's a gracious thing. It says here in verse 20, but if when you do good, again, the same theme, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, and this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. You know, this is what Peter again says from the Lord. Life is tough. Do not justify your choices by saying they made me do it. You choose what God has made you do it. My first pastor told me this phrase 25 years ago. And he said this. I had in my first Bible on the back of the Bible written with pencil, and I will never forget it. Never justify your sins by the sins of others done unto you. I say it again. Never justify your sins by the sins of others done unto you. If your master, your employer, your boss, your whatever is evil and mean, don't justify insubmission or insubordination by saying, he made me do it. He deserved it. Don't say, I had no other choice, but, you know, Peter says, yep, you got a choice. Fear God, honor the emperor, be subject. This is what Christ has done. And that's the last passage. Why do we do this? Why do we choose a life of goodness, of transformation, of shining like stars? Why? Because of the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22 and on. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did nothing. Sorry, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued to entrust himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Say it again, verse 23 and 22 and 23. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. No retaliation. Do not justify your reviling because others have reviled you. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Don't make accusations or threats because you suffer. Just look at Christ and just suffer as he has it. Now, I mean, I'm talking about suffering because you've done good and you obeyed God, not about, like he says, when you sin and you're beaten for it. There's no honor in that. Peter says, though, follow Christ's example. This is why we live this life. You know, submit with all respect, not because they earned it or deserved it, because you, as a free servant of God, you choose to honor and obey them. And in the end, verse 20, it's not marked, do good again. But now, towards the end, let's make this personal. Nothing comes more natural to the human heart than self-defense and retaliation against those who have mistreated us. We love revenge movies. You know, when someone does evil and then someone else comes and just repays them for the evil done. I like those movies. To embrace unjust opposition requires a supernatural strength and a spiritual example to follow. And we find them both in the crucified and risen Lord, Christ Jesus. The only way to find strength to endure the wickedness of others is to be constantly reminded of what Jesus has done, that he has secured for us forgiveness for our sins and the healing of our souls. That is how we get the power to do good in a world that hates us. This is a call from God, that through the Holy Scriptures, for all of us, we live holy lives in the midst of a secular chaos and let God take care of the final results. We're called to a lifestyle that's different than others. When people self-focus and they focus on themselves, we're called to surrender. When people ask for entertainment, we're called to worship. When people use marketing to gain followers, we're called to witness for Christ. When people seek power, we're called to humility. When people call for a cheap grace that doesn't require transformation, we remind ourselves of the costly obedience of Christ Jesus. We are called to shine like stars in the sky and silence the ignorance, not by eloquent words, but by a transformed life. Do good as you live honorable lives when people are watching you. Do good before human creations that we call state institutions. Do good as you obey your masters. Follow the example of Christ in all that you do, and you will shine like stars, and you will silence the ignorance through your doing good in all times. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that you reminded us that life, again, is not easy. And the world out there that hated you first will also hate us as we try to live a life in obedience to you. Help us to be sober-minded today and then realize that as we follow you and do good, some people will just be amazed and transformed and glorify you, but others will hate you and hate us at the same time. But when life is good and people like us, help us to do great, to do what is good. But also when it's hard and we are reviled and attacked and persecuted, help us to still do good. Help us to obey you, Lord, first of all, and then obey those that you allow to be in positions of authority upon us. Help us to obey our masters, not because they're gentle and kind, but because we are free servants of Christ, and we obey them for your sake, so that our lives can be different and our lives themselves can be a testimony of the work of God in us, of the Spirit of God and its power to transform. Father, I pray again this morning that we would shine like stars in a dark and wicked generation, and may our lives lead many to the cross and to salvation. Because it's not about us, it's all about you and allowing as many as possible to get to know you and receive salvation and transformation. I pray again, Lord, help us shine like stars for the world to see you in us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.